Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, today is Friday, September the 9th. This Sunday is September 11th, and it's a day in our church anyway where we are going to remember those who died in the attacks on America on September 11th, and we're going to pray for our first responders, the brave men and women that put their lives on the line every day, and pray for God's protection and pray that the Lord would bring revival to our land. We desperately need revival. America is sinking fast, and God's people, as you've heard me say time and time again, God's people hold the key to revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is for God's people. And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not my hand, but my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. It's on you and me to really get right with God, to really seek the Lord, to cry out to Him, to bring forgiveness and deliverance and revival to America. And God promises that He will hear. When we get serious, He will respond. And so He is waiting on us. Well, I wanted to let you know, you probably have heard, but I wanted to just remind you about a new movie that is coming out today. It's a movie with Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. And the Kendrick brothers, they are teaming up again. You remember way back when they teamed up for Fireproof, which was a great, great movie about marriage and about salvation. Their stories always have a strong salvation message. Well, the movie coming out today is called Life Mark. It's a movie chronicling the true story of a teenage boy who is unexpectedly contacted by his birth mother, who gave him up for adoption 18 years earlier. And she was getting ready, as the story goes, true story, she was getting ready to have an abortion. And at the last minute, she said no. And she went ahead and had that baby and put that baby up for adoption. And that baby got a great home. And just how the story unfolds. I have not seen the movie yet, but I talked to Kirk a little bit about it, and he is very, very excited about it. You know, Kirk Cameron is he's a friend of mine. He's been to our church, I think, 3 times talking about marriage and family issues. He and his wife, Chelsea, they met on the set of Growing Pains, and they have 2 biological children and 4 adopted children, and Chelsea, Kirk's wife, she herself was adopted, and so she always wanted to adopt. And so he told me this movie has special, special meaning for him because he is so strongly pro-life and he is so strongly pro-adoption. And situation of adoption has touched our family because my oldest daughter, Jill, and her husband, Jay, they had a baby girl back 12 years ago, Emmy Ray Budzilowski, but Jill had a lot of problems with Crohn's, and it was really exacerbated by her pregnancy, and so her doctor told her, hey, it's probably not a good idea for you to have another baby, and so Jill and Jay wanted another baby, and so they sought adoption, and God blessed them in August, 7 years ago in August, with a little baby girl. They were at the hospital when Lyndon Joy was born. And Lyndon is black. And so it's very obvious that she is not a biological child of Jill and Jay's, but she is loved to pieces by Jill and Jay and Emmy and our family and Jay's family. And she is just such a joy. And, you know, she could have easily been aborted, but her mother chose life. And Jill and Jay have given her such a great home. And, you know, people wonder sometimes, why are Christians so strongly pro-life? Listen, if you believe the Bible, you are pro-life because life begins at conception. You know, you try and ask some of these pro-abortion people. When does life begin? They just hem and haw. They don't want to tell you. Some of them will say, well, life begins when the baby is outside of the womb and is able to fend for himself or herself, which is a bunch of baloney because a baby can't fend for himself or herself for a long time after the womb. But they don't want to say, and they definitely don't want to say, life begins at conception. Why? Because then that would be murder. Taking a life is murder. So they don't want to say that. And they don't understand why Christians are so strongly opposed to abortion. We're strongly opposed to abortion because we believe abortion is murder. Abortion stops a beating heart. Life begins at conception. I was watching a clip from Bill Maher. You know, Bill Maher, the big liberal comedian and talk show host. I have been impressed with some of the things he has said lately because he asks questions that a lot of liberals don't ask. And he was in a conversation with another guy. I think it was Rob Reiner, but I could be mistaken on that. Anyway, they were talking about the issue of abortion, and the guest, I believe it was Rob Reiner, said, well, obviously those pro-life people hate women. And Bill Maher said, no, that's not fair. They don't hate women. He said, this is where they're coming from. They believe abortion is murder, and that's why they are so strongly opposed to it, and that's why they do everything to fight against it. And I thought to myself, well, you know, at least he gets it. He understands that abortion, from our perspective, we see abortion as murder, and we need to do everything we can to stop the murder, the brutal murder. It's not just murder, it's brutal. And it's the dismemberment of a child that's made in the image of God that's forming in the womb. Now, the Bible says this, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Now that's Proverbs 31. That's the words of King Lemuel, which the oracle which his mother taught him. And this is, many people believe that the word Lemuel or King Lemuel is a nickname that Bathsheba gave her son Solomon. And the word is, hey, King Solomon, listen, you need to open your mouth for those that can't speak. You need to defend the rights of the poor and needy, the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend. No more, none so poor, so needy, and so unable to speak as the unborn. And we are to stand up and speak up for them. And when we see atrocities taking place where they're being murdered by the millions, we need to stand up and speak up for that. And we need to vote when it comes to voting. You need to find out, where does a candidate stand on the issue of life, on the issue of abortion? And if that person is pro-abortion, you don't vote for them. No Christian can vote for the murder of the unborn. You can't vote for a candidate who is for the murder of the unborn. And you can't vote for a candidate who is wishy-washy that said, well, personally, I'm against abortion, but publicly, I'm for women's rights. Hey, if abortion is murder, and it is never right. When the issue of abortion comes up, just think of that person as, okay, this is a 1 month old baby outside of the womb. What would we do with the 1 month old baby outside of the womb? Would we be thinking about, well, this is very inconvenient. I think we should kill this child. Well, of course we wouldn't think like that. Although in California, they're trying to say that a woman has the right 30 days after birth to terminate that child. That is going from abortion to infanticide. And if any Christian would say, yeah, I could support that, you got to wonder, has that person ever been saved? Listen, we defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. We speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. It is so important. You know, people in this last election, people said, well, you know, and we had pastors, high-profile pastors that say, well, you know, you can't be a one-issue voter. And they tried to level the playing field and put abortion on one side and all these other issues that they say are so equally important on the other side. There's nothing that compares with abortion, because abortion is murder. You know, there's no political party other than the party of the left that is pro-murder. Now, they don't say that abortion is murder because they can't really get away with that. Although in California, if you're going to say pass a law that says you have the right to kill a baby 30 days after the womb, then you are letting people see your true colors, that you are indeed for the murder of the unborn and the born. But you know, we stand up and we say we're going to stand on this issue because this issue outshines every other issue. Think about this for a moment. You're on the Titanic. You're on the maiden voyage of the Titanic. You know, you could probably come up with a list of things that were wrong on the Titanic. Hey, you know, in the soup was too salty. My towel service is not very good. The towels are still kind of wet. They haven't been dried completely when I get my towels. I have this problem with your service and that problem with your service. But nothing compares to the problem of the iceberg. Nothing compares to the problem of the fact that there is a hole in the ship and the ship is going down. And so as I view the issue of abortion as it relates to voting in America, that issue outshines every other issue. And as David Barton once told me, he said, you look at a person, how they vote. If you show me how they vote on the issue of abortion, I can tell you a lot of things about how they will vote on this issue, that issue, and the other issue. And obviously, this has become this issue of abortion, a woman's right to choose. To choose what? To choose to brutally dismember her unborn child. That is the cornerstone of the Democrat Party. It is a sick and sad truth and reality. And Kamala Harris was just in Houston at the National Baptist Convention, and she said, well, surely we can all agree that this is a woman's right. She ought to be able to choose that in consultation with her pastor, in consultation with her family, in consultation with her doctor. No, she doesn't get to consult with her doctor or her pastor about killing her 6-month-old. It's nothing to consult. Abortion is murder. And here is the good news, because on Monday we had the interview with Megan Cook, our sweet Megan Cook, who works for From His Heart Ministries. And Megan Cook has had the experience of an abortion, and she would be quick to say to all women, don't do it. It is wrong. It is murder. And she found grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring healing to her heart from that terrible, horrible sin. But she is the first to tell you that is a terrible way to go. That is an awful sin against God. Is there forgiveness in the Lord Jesus? Yes. And that is a wonderful truth for all of us. We can come to him. But hey, as Jesus told the woman caught in the midst of adultery, he said, is anyone here to condemn you? They all left, because he who is without sin among you, let him be first to cast a stone. Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so if you are listening today and you are in a crisis pregnancy situation, I would tell you that baby is from God. I don't know how that baby got in your womb, if it was through some terrible circumstances, but listen, you don't kill that child. Give that child up for adoption if you can't take care of that child. Trust God with the whole situation. God will bless you. And Pastor, stand up for the unborn. Stand up for what is right. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Go see LifeMark this weekend. You will be blessed. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Exploring the Word. I think it's wiser to lay the issue out before God than to tell God what to do.
That's very wise, and it takes a level of trust to do that.
I trust you, Lord. Makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God, you're able to deliver us from this fiery, burning furnace. But if not, we're still not going to bow down. We trust you no matter what.
Join Bert Harper and Alex McFarland weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Airing the Addisons.
Sherry B. and Jay Mack are on tap to help us navigate the show. Will the Great, where do we go next?
All right, let's go to Brad in Arkansas. Hi, Brad.
Good afternoon. I enjoy your show, as always.
Applying Scripture to Life.
You can talk about anything that we have discussed this week, or maybe something that you want to bring to our attention. If we don't know about it, we're just going to tell you we don't know about it. You know, and then you'll just have to, you know, judge me. I'm sorry.
Airing the Addisons. Weekdays at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
In churches, and a lot of churches today, the issue of identity is sort of like the big elephant in the room. It's in the news, but it's not in the church. So if it's in society, it needs to be something the churches are addressing.
In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality, is now available for church screenings and events.
Every person in America needs to see this.
And all pastors need to show this to the church, get the people informed. If the church and Jesus isn't the answer, where's the world going?
We want the message of the film to touch as many hearts and lives as possible, and we'd love to join with you to bring the film to your community. So let's say you have a small group or your church, or we've even been bringing the film into some prisons. We want to partner with you. So what we'll do is we'll send you a special kit, and it's completely free, and it'll just have some extra resources to help you promote your event.
To find out more about how to host an event, go to inhisimage.movie and click on the Host an Event tab. That's inhisimage.movie.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We have been broadcasting now for several months, and it is a joy to be involved with American Family Radio and American Family Association. I so appreciate the Wildmans and the stand that they take, and all the great folks at American Family Association, American Family Radio. And, you know, when we were coming up for a name, what were we going to call this program? At From His Heart Ministries, that's the ministry that God led me to start back in late 2004, first broadcast in 2005, Real Truth, Real Love, Real Hope. That's kind of our tagline, because we have a lot of things out there that are false. They give you false truth, subjective truth, false hope, and a false love, a twisted, perverted love, not a love that's according to the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, real love always is rooted in truth. And so real truth for today, it's truth that is rooted in the Word of God. It's not subjective truth. You know, you hear this phrase a lot, well, that's your truth. We have in our world today, your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth. Hey, there is just truth. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He said in his great high priestly prayer, John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, Father, is truth. Where do we come to know the truth? It's through the word of God. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in the word of God to get to know what does the Bible say and how does it fit together. You know, the Bible is not one book, it's 66 books. 66 books that cover a time span of 1,500 years, written by over 40 authors in three different languages. Yet there's a theme through it all, and it all fits together. And Jesus is the hero of the Bible. He is the Savior that is promised at the fall of man, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman that will come and crush the serpent's head. And he did that on the cross when he died and he rose again for our sins. We need to spend time in the book. We need to know the book. I have a question for you. Are you spending time in the Word of God? Do you know what the Bible says? When I was in college, there was a song out by a musical group called Farrell and Farrell, and they had a song, I believe it was from Farrell and Farrell, and the song was titled, You've Got to Find It in the Word, or at least that was part of their lyrics. You've got to find it in the Word. Things that people do today, is that in the Scripture? You know, when you have a lot of strange things happening in church, I did a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, and it's the, you know, he tends to be the third person of the Trinity that there's mystery around the Holy Spirit. We don't seem to know the Holy Spirit very well. And God the Father, God the Son, okay, we're solid on that. But when it comes to the Spirit, well, we just associate lots of crazy things with the Spirit. Jesus said that there was coming another just like him. He said, if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit won't come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you, and he is another just like me. Now, you think about the life of the Lord Jesus, the ministry of the Lord Jesus when he had his earthly ministry. Was it shrouded in strange, weird things where people are running around and falling over and barking like dogs and acting insane? No, there wasn't any of that. It wasn't any of that. And so it is wrong to think, well, this we have all these weird things happening at some churches, and we say, well, that's just that's because they're filled with the Spirit. Well, when Jesus conducted large gatherings with a lot of people, they didn't have crazy things like that taking place. He was casting out demons. He wasn't welcoming in insanity and things that didn't make any sense at all. And he is very sensible in how he conducted himself. And people, they might say, hey, this is hard to understand because he was teaching deep truths. But, you know, he taught mostly in parables. And parables are earthly stories that have heavenly meanings. And people could understand the earthly part of the parable. Sometimes they didn't connect it, oftentimes didn't connect it to what is the deeper spiritual meaning. But listen, the Holy Spirit of God is just like Jesus. And so as we look at the Word of God, we have to find it in the Word. And we desperately need to spend time with the Lord in His Word. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, you don't have any need for someone to teach you, for the resident teacher lives inside. The Holy Spirit of God, the anointing that you have from God with His Spirit living inside, His Spirit will teach you. And we desperately need in our world, I always tell our church this, hey, when I preach, you need to be a Berean. But these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for when Paul preached, they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Hey, they didn't just take it at face value. Oh, Paul said it, so it's gospel truth. No, they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I encourage people, hey, when I preach something, go back and you study the passage. You look and you look at the supporting verses that I gave you for that. You study this topic. You tell me. You know, we have people sometimes come from another denomination, and when we talk to them about baptism, you know, maybe they grew up Methodist, and maybe they came to Christ in a real way when they were young, and they were baptized at 12, but they were baptized by sprinkling because that's what they did in their church. And some people get really, really, they would get mad when we would say, hey, you know, to join the church, you have to be immersed, because that's what the word baptizo means. It means to immerse, to dip. And they said, well, we didn't do that at my church, and that was very meaningful for me. And so now you're saying my baptism didn't mean anything. I said, well, it meant something to you. I'm just saying your baptism is not what is in the word. They didn't ever sprinkle anyone in the Bible. It was always baptism by immersion. So you have not been scripturally baptized, and baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian life, and so you need to put on the wedding ring. And baptism pictures, the reason why it's done in a pool of water, it pictures dying to your old way of life and receiving a brand new life in Jesus. You can't picture that by sprinkling water on somebody's head. You picture that by putting them under the water to signify death and coming back up right away to signify new life in Jesus. Hey, you got to find it in the Word. Real truth comes from the Word of God. It's real truth for today, because as Paul said to Timothy, the last book that he ever wrote, the last epistle, the last letter, and the last chapter of the last epistle, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. That's the world in which we live in today. Paul said, hey, the time will come. Well, the time is here, where people don't want to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth, but they desperately need to hear the truth. I told our church just last week, I mentioned this on a pretty regular basis, I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I'm going to tell you from the scripture, thus says the Lord. And if that steps on your toes, just know that it steps on my toes too. I didn't write the book. I just tell you what the book says. I am a delivery service. I'm a mailman. Thus says the Lord. Here it is. And it's not given to me to edit the letter. We read the letter as written from God to you, to me. And if it steps on our toes, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That says, hey, we need to get some things right, and we need to make some changes in our lives. Remember this about the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God, literally God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It's for teaching. It tells us what is right. It's for reproof. It tells us what is not right. For correction, tells us how to get right. For training in righteousness, it tells us how to stay right, so that we can walk with God, so that we can be equipped for every good work. I just want to encourage you today, spend time in the Word of God. Read it, memorize it, meditate upon it. God loves his word. Pray, when you pray, a lot of people have trouble with prayer. What do I pray? Pray God's word back to him. That's why the book of Psalms is such a great book, 150 chapters. You can read it five chapters a day. You read it through every month. And it's just chalk filled with prayers. And you can just pray those things back to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is where I am. I really connect with David here. and you pray those things back to the Lord. I was talking to a friend just yesterday. He's going through a hard time in life, and the bottom seems to be dropping out. And he said, you know, I just feel like I've been in this severe time of testing, and it's just not letting up, and it's month after month after month after month. And I said to him, I said, you know, I preached a sermon years ago on Psalm 13, and I titled it, When God Feels a Million Miles Away. And I said, in Psalm 13, David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You ever feel like that? This guy felt like that. Like God had just, you know, the heavens were brass. His prayers were just not getting through, that God had forgotten his name and his address and just seemed so distant. Well, David felt exactly like that. And he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. Give me light in the darkness, he prayed, lest I die. Ah, the word of God is so fresh and it's so good. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, as he's just pouring out his heart. I said, he's talking about a situation that's exactly like where your situation. It's where you are today. And I said, but he ends the psalm this way, but I have trusted in your loving kindness, in your faithful, loyal love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He shares his situation, and then he ends the psalm with faith, with a rock-solid trust in God. I trust in your love, Lord. I don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening, but I trust in your loyal love, and I'm going to choose. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing. It's an act of the will. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Listen, when life is really, really hard, that's when you need to sing. That's when you need to remember God is good and God loves me and God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And remember the admonition, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, where Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. Well, I would love to talk to you as we talk about the Word, as we talk about standing firm in the Word and in the truths of Scripture. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you're going through a very difficult time in life, and you're finding it hard to sing and hard to rejoice and hard to see God. And you're kind of like David. Lord, how long are you going to hide your face from me? And, you know, we as human beings, as believers in Jesus, sometimes it's very easy for us to throw in the towel. We just don't have a lot of endurance, and we don't have a lot of ability to keep going. The Bible says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility among sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary. Fix your eyes on Jesus in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of suffering. Let his word minister to you. His word is real truth for today. And that's how we grow, as we spend time in the Word. The Bible says that the Word of God is our milk. It's our meat. It's our bread. It's what we feed on and feast on to build up the inner man so that we can be strong in faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to be a person of strong faith, you're never going to be there unless you spend time in the Word. Read it. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. Let it just play in your mind. Find music that incorporates the Word of God, and learn the word through music, it will make all the difference in the world. So when we come back from the break, I'd love to talk to you, to hear from you. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Hey, we can talk about whatever is on your heart. I'm here to help, and we know that God wants to speak and work and encourage your heart in Jesus. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I was an inmate in prison, recently was released, and I wanted to call and tell you guys how much of an impact you've made in my life.
American Family Radio's Share-a-thon is October 11th, 12th, and 13th. Some of the most memorable moments of Share-a-thon are when listeners tell us how God has used AFR to change their lives. Call now to share your story. Phone 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
Paul admonished Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Paul encouraged him to not be intimidated by those older because of his youth. He was to be faithful and true to the gospel of Christ. The story is told of a great German teacher who always politely removed his hat before a group of young people. He would ask, "What future great men or women might be among you? What possibilities here? What makers of future history? Have you ever thought about your future, your total future? Jesus Christ can make a difference in your possibilities and in your eternity. To choose Christ is to live eternally. Now that's a future that's out of this world."
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I've been here for 19 and a half years. I'm also the host and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart was founded at the end of 2004. We've been broadcasting since the beginning of 2005. It's a national and international radio and television ministry that preaches the Word of God, speaking the truth in love. We are very pleased to partner with American Family Radio. We're heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on this great station. Well, we're taking your calls during this segment, 888-589-8840. We're open to talking about anything, but listen, we get our information, we get our answers from the truth of the Word of God. So we have Tracy on the line from Florida. Tracy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to thank you for this program and for your sensitivity and your caring and for the preaching that you do. I listen to you every evening, and I just I really, really value your what you teach and the word that you bring and the insights. I really, really appreciate you. That was my first thing I wanted to say right up front.
Very sweet. My issue, Thank you, Tracy.
You're very welcome. My issue has been a physiological problem that has caused me to be extremely depressed and angry and violent. I've been suffering from this for a long time, but it's become more intense the past 2 years. And that Psalm 13 you just spoke about is exactly where I'm at. Mm. I have cried out to God for months and months and months, and I've not heard any answers. And I've tried to find Christian counseling to help me because I'm really seriously doubting my salvation. I'm almost doubting whether God exists. And I hear people speak about his peace and his love and his blessings and his giving you answers. And like David said, the heavens are brass. They're brass. And I'm extremely desperate. At times I become suicidal. I am that desperate. What would you suggest I do?
Wow. Well, first of all, Tracy, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening to the program weeknights at 6 Central. My heart goes out to you, and I just appreciate your honesty. Here's some things that I would encourage you to do. And obviously, we don't understand, especially when you have issues that are bringing a lot of depression, because you might have some chemical imbalances, some physiological things that are causing psychological and spiritual and emotional issues. I would get checked out at the doctor to see, is there something physically wrong? Is there something that they can correct physically? Have you done that?
Yes, sir. I am in the process of doing that. I'm having trouble getting in because where I'm at, the doctors are very backed up. But I have gone and got some psychological, and I'm on a medication, but it's going to take 4 to 8 weeks, and I'm not sure if it's going to work. And it's in the meantime, the nights when they become, and the days, how do you get through?
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's the other thing. I would encourage you to play praise music. God inhabits the praises of his people. So it can be, you can have a physical issue, but it's also shows up, in the spiritual. And so the devil works in those areas, and he traffics in lies, and he traffics in depression and to try and get you down. I mean, he would love for you to get so low, Tracy, that you would want to just say, I'm done. I'm gonna end my own life. That would be a great victory for him. The devil works when you're in that low point to tell you, see, you're not a Christian. God doesn't love you. God doesn't listen to your prayers. He's not helping you. The promises of God are not for you. They're for other people. Hey, the scripture makes it clear in Acts 2, for the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. So his promises are for you. So I would encourage you to fill your house with praise music. God inhabits the praises of his people. Debbie and I had a season where things were really bad at church about 10 years ago or so, and we would just leave the radio on praise music, and we would just fill our house. Even at night, we'd turn it down low, but it would always be going in the den, and we just wanted our house to be filled with praise. Even if you can't, you're not necessarily hearing it in your ears, your spirit is picking up on the fact that there is praise in my house going up to the Lord, and scripture-based songs. That makes a big difference, because as we sing those songs, as we think on the things, as the Bible says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And so I would encourage you that way, and I would encourage you to just keep bringing those issues before the Lord. And here's something that is helpful too, Tracy. Take out a sheet of paper and write on that sheet of paper 10 things that you can praise the Lord about. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5. And so write down 10 things that you can praise the Lord about in your life, and make it a point 3 times a day to pull out that sheet and say, God, thank you for this and this and this and this, whatever those 10 things are. And that will get your heart focused on the positives and the praises and how God has blessed you and how God is working in your life. And it will help you with the negatives, because when your mind is fixed on negatives, then everything starts to become negative. But if your mind is fixed on the Lord and His goodness, and hey, remember this, Tracy, the greater the problem, the greater the opportunity for God to work a miracle. And so we don't know why God allows things to happen the way He does. David didn't. We don't know why God seems to wait. From our perspective, He seems to take so long to do, but we just trust Him. So be faithful until death, Jesus said, and I will give you the crown of life. Tracy, it is better to live in faith, to die in faith, than to live in doubt. And so the things that you're feeling, I'm not a Christian, God doesn't love me, things will never get better, all those are lies from the enemy. So I would just want to encourage you to just really meditate in the truth. And even if you don't feel it, remember, we don't walk by feelings, we don't walk by circumstances, we walk by faith and not by sight. Is that helpful for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will do that. I will do that faithfully. I appreciate that very much.
Well, we'll be praying for you, Tracy, and we want to help you any way we can. So please keep in touch. You can get me online, and you can contact me through fromhisheart.org, and we want to pray for you and help you as a ministry.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate that offer.
Thank you. God bless you. All right, we have Shirley from Arkansas. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I've never called before, but I was listening to Tracy that's on the phone, and I got some real good ideas for her. I was going through the same thing, and I'm also taking an antidepressant and high blood pressure medicine, and what I read in a newspaper about a month ago is that this sounds real crazy, but she's got to do this. They said that you should eat. It's for Japanese or Chinese do this. It's red dates, and you get them at a health food store. And again, it's red dates, and they have a little seed in them. And they are loaded with antibiotics and, not antibiotics, but all kinds of healthy things. And I've been taking those now, and I got them at a health food store. And they have a little seed on the inside. And what I do is I put like 3 of them in the microwave to soften them up and to eat those. And I've been taking those for about two weeks now. And all of a sudden, I don't know if it's mentally or what, but all of a sudden, I just feel a change, and I'm back to my old self. And it's something that you never hear about. The first thing the doctors want to do is give you an antidepressant, which causes a lot of side effects. Mm-hmm. And but anyhow, I just wanted to call in and tell her that there's hope. Amen. And there's not a lot of health food stores that carry this, but I found one in Cabot that has those, and they're inexpensive, and I eat about 3 or 4 a day. And
well,
I was
good.
Thinking,
yeah,
it helped me. So,
well, I appreciate you passing that on, Shirley. Red dates. I hadn't heard about that before. But thank you for calling in, and thank you for caring about Tracy. And Tracy, I do have to say, too, my wife just texted me, and with this comment, she said, one thing, too, when you get depressed, you tend to isolate. And that is the opposite of what you need. You need to be engaging with people. I remember reading a book about loneliness and depression, and they interviewed this psychiatrist, and he said, what would you say to a person who's terribly lonely and terribly depressed? And he said, I would tell them to get out of the house and go do something for somebody else. Mow somebody's yard, take somebody groceries, do something for somebody else, because that will encourage your heart as you use your life to bless another. So Shirley, thanks so much for calling. Well, we have Vernon on the line from Kentucky. Vernon, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Tree. I just wanted to call and to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Which, my question is more like a question and statement at the same time. Way I understand it through the Word of God, when Jesus died and he was nailed to the cross and he died, all of our sins went on him. And also, he spent 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. And I say that I tried to tell, I told a couple, maybe one person, that Jesus not only died, he went to hell for us. But I very seldom hear any pastor say that. They didn't say he went to, he just died. He did more than just die for me. But he did. He went to hell, and when I called in the other day, you the person that I had to get through, the screamer, she hung up on me because I said that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't know that Jesus Christ went to hell.
Well, a lot of people don't believe that. And Vernon, I think if you study church history, that has been deemed a heresy to think that Jesus died and went to hell. He told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," not in hell, but in paradise. And Jesus paid for all our sins on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished, paid in full." There wasn't anything more to pay. And then he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Where did Jesus go for 3 days? He went to the place of the righteous dead, which is called paradise or Abraham's bosom. And he said to them, "I am the one that came and died for your sins." See, people before the cross, they didn't know the name Jesus. They just had faith in God's provision for their sins. And so he said, "I am the one. I am the one that took away the sins of the world. You put your faith and trust in God's provision. I am God's provision." They look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. But the idea that Jesus went to hell and was tormented by Satan for 3 days, that is a heresy. And so I appreciate you calling and sharing that. But I would reject that completely. That is not in keeping with Scripture. And so Orthodox Christianity rejects that. And so, but I appreciate you listening, Vernon, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Well, we have just another minute. Alan in North Carolina. Alan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Real quickly, I was going to talk to you about something else, but I have a message for Shirley. I'm a retired Army combat veteran, and I went through a divorce before I became a Christian, and I also had thoughts of suicide. But then when I read the Bible and had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, I realized that that's Satan's tool. But before I went into combat, I had an unbelievable sense of peace that I belonged to the Lord. I was in a win-win situation. If I were killed, I'd be with the Lord. If not, I'd live. But I was almost killed twice, one time within 1 second of a Scud attack. But every morning when I wake up and I'm alive, I roll out of bed, get on my knees, and I thank the Lord for bringing me through the night and giving me the gift of another day of life. But Tracy, he absolutely loves you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate you listening to the program. Well, thank you for being with us today on Real Truth for Today. And I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm looking forward to a great weekend where we can worship the Lord on Sunday together with other believers. Let me encourage you, if you get the chance, go see LifeMark. Kirk Cameron, Alex Kendrick, Stephen Kendrick. It will bless your heart as it will encourage you to trust the Lord, to know that God is in control. And remember the two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you and God will use your life to be His witness. God bless. I'll be with you again on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.